the near post. Messi to the net. Ramel Quioto now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Pantanita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, second hour, we are underway. Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys will bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You get in an accident. It's not a great feeling. Car, motorcycle, we all get nervous when it happens. Industrial construction, plant refinery, 18-wheeler, you might drive one. Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need. The Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are big fans of soccer. They are great supporters of Soccer Matters here. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Another word here. I want to thank the King's Court, right down in Edo, 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. King's Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires, and covers leagues from around the world. They'll show the Dynamo games there. It's the home of El Batallón pre- and post-game. Rooftop deck, spectacular. Great view of the stadium. Incredible Indian cuisine there. Some of the best curries I've had come right out of King's Court. Different chicken dishes, chicken tikka masala. Hey, by the way, Tyler, what a night we had when King's Court catered Soccer Matters, huh?
Still thinking about that.
I know. I wish someone was here. Jay, if you're listening, run us some food over here right now. We're dying for some of that chicken tikka masala. What a night that was. That was an incredible spread. I'll tell you what, we've had some great food up here. FM Kitchen and Bar. Liberty Kitchen. King's Court. I got to say, I think my show is the best at getting the best food spreads. I'm going to take that honor right now. So send me a trophy emoji, somebody. I want to win something. 713-780-3776. So we've had a couple of topics on the table here tonight. We're going to get, I believe, Andrew Wenger here shortly to talk about the Houston Dynamo. Next up for the Dynamo, Wednesday night, they have not won eight matches in Major League Soccer. Next up is the New York Red Bulls. And the Red Bulls are very, very interesting because it is a team that is not a high-spending team. It is a team that is based on developing their own. The New York Red Bulls are a part of a consortium with Red Bull Leipzig of the Bundesliga, where Tyler Adams is expected to go, where Jesse Marsch is an assistant coach, and Red Bull Salzburg in Austria. All three of these teams play with the same philosophy, the same purpose of play, the same idea. So what am I saying? They are youthful teams. They are pressing teams. They are highly energetic. They are high-tempo teams. They put other teams under pressure. They played last night. They got a 1-0 victory last night, the New York Red Bulls over DC United at Red Bull Arena. So that's where the Dynamo will be, at Red Bull Arena. You can join Eddie Robinson and I for the call of that one on the Cube. We'll have a pregame show as well. So it's a great test. I don't know where you think the Dynamo are right now. They're not mathematically out of the MLS playoffs, but it has to be if we're in reality. It's a long shot. A lot of focus now on the September 26th Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup final against the Philadelphia Union. You can get your tickets for Dynamo games at HoustonDynamo.com. Last victory was over Minnesota back on July 7th. That's a long time ago. That's tough on players. It's tough on a manager. It's tough on everybody. You wear it. You feel it. You've got DeMarcus Beasley sound, right?
I do.
Yeah, let's play the DeMarcus Beasley sound because I like this from DeMarcus. DeMarcus is in reality here, and he's taking accountability for what's going on with the Dynamo right now.
It meant a lot, you know. I mean, but at the same time, it's not enough, you know. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything and say we're happy because we're not. I'm not, you know, I'm not. it was good to see that we got a response from last game. Because, like I said, we couldn't get any worse from Salt Lake. It was pretty bad. So, I'm happy with the effort and, you know, what guys put into the game and pushing and fighting and trying to get, you know, 3 points. You know, the boys up top, the boys in the back, we all stuck together and played, you know, pretty well. And, you know, we kept the ball a lot better than we had a couple good chances in the first half. And that's football sometimes, you know. So sometimes you're going to not have that many chances. Even though you're at home, you're not going to have that many chances. And if you don't put them in, things like this can happen. So, like I said, mixed feelings. But, yeah, it's okay to get a point. But, like I said, it's still not good enough. Well, I saw the interview that the guy that scored, Rusnak, I think his name is, from Salt Lake. Yeah.
Rusnak?
Yeah, Rusnak. And he said that they were just giving us the ball. We were giving them the ball, and it could have been 5-0. And he was 100% right. We didn't play at all, you know. And he was – I mean, it sucks to hear that, but he's exactly right, you know. And we can't play soccer like that. We can't play soccer like that. And, you know, today, like I said, today what was different was we played soccer. We played like men, you know. The last game, the last couple games, it's been, you know, men amongst boys, you know, and we've been the boys. And it has not been good enough. You know, we know that, and we've been trying to fix it on the training field. You know, trust me, we're not happy with how we play. We're not happy with you know, losing 5 games in a row. You know, no one in this locker room is happy about that, you know. And it's an ongoing, you know, process. That, you know, look, we're not going to give up. We're going to keep going, and hopefully some results go our way, and we get some momentum after this game, getting a point against Dallas, and you know, we go next week to New York and try to get 3 points.
That is really accountability there from DeMarcus Beasley. That's impressive. And I don't see quitting the Dynamo at all. Look, this is a rough period. They basically played them out of a playoff spot. 8-game winless in Major League Soccer. It's tough. And he was referring to the 1-1 draw. Barrios had scored. And that's the reason his goal was the reason you want pace and speed on the field late in matches to make something out of nothing against fatiguing defenders. But then in the 88th minute, a great goal from Ronaldo Peña, and I think you should remember that name. The young Venezuelan was great in the Under-20 World Cup. Venezuela got all the way to the final against England. Joe Willis had some important saves. But we'll take a break. I got a pair of tickets. Mexico-Uruguay right now to the 8th caller as we go to break. 8th caller at 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets. Mexico-Uruguay, September 7th. Take a Bud Light break.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Deadly Apples, that's a cool song. Yeah, that's. See, people don't know I'm a music guy, and I span lots of decades. But Tyler Scott keeps me up on some of the late breaking stuff now. I like this. Good sound. Deadly Apples. Anybody going to Def Leppard and Journey? I know we're running spots on the station, right? That's a big show.
I believe so, yeah.
Def Leppard still puts on a great show. So does Journey. 713-780-3776. Let's get your thoughts. We put a lot of topics out here tonight. We talked about 2026 World Cup coming to Houston. We would love that. Still have to win the bid. There's 17 other cities involved, and we'll get to those cities eventually. Oh, okay, good. We got Andrew Wenger of the Houston Dynamo now joining us. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. Andrew, thank you very much for coming on the show. Little music intro for Andrew. Andrew,
he put us on hold.
Oh, okay. So we're on hold. The other cities, Los Angeles, New York, D.C., Dallas, Kansas City, Denver, Baltimore, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Nashville, Seattle, San Francisco, Boston, Cincinnati, Miami, and Orlando. So those are the other cities that are competing for the bids. All right, so now I think we have Andrew Wenger on. Andrew, are you there?
Hey, Glenn.
All right, we got you. No problem.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's no problem. Don't worry. We appreciate the effort for you getting on. And next one up for you guys is on Wednesday against the New York Red Bulls. I want to take you back to Ronaldo Pena's goal and just what that kind of meant for you guys during what has been a pretty tough time right now.
Yeah, it was, first off, a great goal by Ronaldo. First for the club, and he took it well, but good for us to be rewarded a bit for some of the opportunities we created tonight. And also, he bailed me out a little bit. I had a mistake earlier in the game, so it was nice to see him score and all work out, but we're still a little disappointed that we didn't come away with 3 points. 3 points we desperately needed and continue to need.
So, look, these are tough times right now. This has been a tough slide for you guys. You're not mathematically out of a playoff spot, although it's going to take a big effort, and it's going to take a heck of a winning streak to come close to getting back into contention for this. What's the mood of the team? Because, that's one of the things the fans want to know. I mean, this is the reality of professional sports, ups and downs. These are tough times right now. What do you guys do in the tough times?
Yeah, so, we all know where we're at, where we're sitting, and kind of more than that, where our momentum's at. And I think as a team, we've kind of tried to get together and just fix the momentum first. We understand there's a lot of games to be played and a lot of points needed, but we need to get the points in front of us first, and then momentum will follow.
For you, next up, as we mentioned, was the New York Red Bulls. The Dynamo only have a couple of more home games, so get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com. Also, the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup on September 26th. Andrew goes up against his former team, the Philadelphia Union. What has been the problems this year? What have been the real issues around this record and the winless streak and, after being a playoff team last year? What do you think are the biggest problems here that have hurt you guys?
Yeah, we've conceded a lot of goals at bad times. We've conceded goals in ways that are a bit uncharacteristic for us. We haven't been able to control the game at certain points during the season when we needed to, and we have in the past. But, it's not one problem. There's been a lot of different things that have kind of hit us all at the same time. And at the end of the day, the players on the field just haven't performed so much. So that's on us to right that and fix that.
How about the changing back four, which has, not been able to be consistent? A lot of people would say that, a consistent back four is something that provides stability for other areas of the team. Do you think that's been a bit of a problem with injury and suspension and things like that?
We had some big injuries to guys on our team, but that happened throughout the course of the season. We've had some suspensions, but that's more just kind of disciplinary wise. We need to take care of that and be a little bit sharper mentality wise. But if you look last year, we had a lot of different lineups at the back and throughout the entire, across the entire team. So just saying that it's a different lineup and we haven't worked together as well is a cop out, I believe. We just have to perform better at the end of the day.
But I thought last year the center back position was pretty stable and it was pretty consistent with Machado and Leonardo, who I thought were outstanding last year. I'm just saying, that's got to be difficult when a back four is consistently changing. It's got to be difficult for Joe Willis as well.
Yeah, but you also see Felipe came in and played in some big games towards the end of the year when we went to Portland last year.
That's true.
DeMarcus and Leonardo weren't in the 18 due to injuries, or I forget what exactly it was, but they weren't in the 18. So, yes, there was a bit more consistency, but everyone on the roster contributed.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk a little bit about the New York Red Bulls here. Daniel Royer, Etienne's got pace. Kaku scored a great goal in their last game, and, of course, the one and only Bradley Wright Phillips. This is an interesting team, right? Young, aggressive. They love to get at opponents.
Yeah, you just named a lot of very good players, but individually they're very good players, but wouldn't compare their team and the way they press together and pounce on other team's mistakes. So it's going to take a team effort to both create chances and beat their press.
By the way, a couple of Duke, I believe there's one or two Duke former Duke guys like you on the New York Red Bulls. Is that right?
Yeah, Sean Davis is having a really good career there.
Yeah, very, very good. Well, Andrew, listen, thank you for being a good man and calling into the program. We wish you the best of luck at the New York Red Bulls. I know you're up in the Garden State of New Jersey, one of the great states in the United States. And we wish you the best of luck on Wednesday night. We're looking forward to the game.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's Andrew Wenger, Dynamo defender. He was out injured for a while as well, by the way. So he's had a couple of injury problems as well, became the solution at the right back position for Wilmer Cabrera. But the Red Bull Arena will be the site on Wednesday night. That match will be on the Cube. All right, let's take some phone calls here. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I talked about the Alliance Council that can vote out the general manager in Seattle. It happens every 4 years. If you're a half-season ticket holder or a full-season ticket holder, you get a vote. Two-thirds supermajority, you can vote out the general manager. Here's what Garth Lagerwey said back in May on the fan base, inclusiveness, and revenue streams. And he said, look, quote, I'm grateful to our fans and the fan base because they give us financial ability to hang in this elite neighborhood. Look, the fan ticket revenue is one aspect of our business. The sponsorship revenue is another. In-stadium revenue is another. To state the obvious, if you own your own stadium, you have more control over the revenues inside the stadium. So this is him talking about revenue streams. And then he goes on to say, those are ancillary. Our fan base is very important to us and to who we are. We've striven to keep our prices reasonable. Our ticket as compared to Toronto, New York, or LA is reasonable because we want to be inclusive. We want to have a large fan base with energy. That is really important to us. So, that's Garth Lagerwey. Zlatan Ibrahimovic did not travel to play against the Seattle Sounders. He didn't want to risk his body on artificial surface. He's talked of the risk on the artificial surface of being higher. He's 36 years old, and he says he will only play on it in the playoffs. His quote was, and I want to know what you think, when it comes to authenticity, and if we want to be the Premier League one day, we have to have great surfaces that are conducive to aesthetic soccer and takes care of the athletes. His quote was, I think it's a shame to play on turf because football was not created on turf. Again, he's 36 years old. He's sitting on 499 goals. Some people do not like Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I think he's been great for Major League Soccer. I think he brings eyeballs. I think it's wonderful. I think it's part of a game as well. The whole sort of alter ego Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the I am Zlatan. What's wrong with that? Do we not like that? Do you like Zlatan Ibrahimovic or not? Do you agree with him that, quote, I think it's a shame to play on turf because football was not created on turf? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So this begs a bigger question, and I've brought this up before. Does the authenticity of MLS take a hit due to artificial surface in certain markets? Seattle, Portland, Atlanta, New England, Minnesota come to mind. I know Minnesota's building a stadium. I don't think the other four are going to grass. And you got to throw in the dimensions at Yankee Stadium, I think, as well. Now, we can measure it by attendance. And that does not seem to deter people. So I assume it's okay that we're on artificial surface. But what about player protection? What about aesthetics? What about the soft environment for a game that needs to an even better on-field product? I guess it doesn't matter if you're drawing 60,000 people. One thing I will say about the Seattle-Portland match, that was a highly competitive game last night. By the way, Gerard Piqué of Barcelona, did you watch Barcelona and Real Valladolid? What a disgrace the field was. Field was pulling apart. I'll tell you more about Piqué in a minute, but he said if the league wants to sell the product outside of Spain, take the games to the United States. They need to look at what is going on here first. The field was a disgrace, and there was a risk of injury to players. Shameful and deplorable. He went on to say it was like a beach. He did not hold back, Gerard Piqué. I like this. I like when players stand up for something and take a stand, because I could not believe the investments of players like Messi and Suarez were running around on a field that huge clumps of turf was breaking up. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Clemente Lice has written a book about the U.S. national team and U.S. soccer history. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about the new Nations League in UEFA and CONCACAF when we come back. And again, we thank the Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, our second hour presenting sponsor. We appreciate all they do for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. They're longtime sponsors. Thank you, John. Thank you, Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. That is the place to go if you need advice. You may drive an 18-wheeler. You may get in a car or motorcycle accident. DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Let's take a Bud Light break.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Just a moment here for the Daspit Law Firm. They're our second hour presenting sponsor. And John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. Our thanks to Daspit Law. Go to DaspitLaw.com or 713-322-HURT. Now, they're bilingual, and you know nobody wants to get in an accident. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle. You might work at a plant or a refinery, industrial construction. If you do and you have a problem and you need someone to represent you, it's the Daspit Law Firm. They'll have you covered. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekend, and you'll get the representation you need. DaspitLaw.com, my good friend John Daspit, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. And then don't forget the place to be in Edo, Kings Court, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors down there, all your soccer watching desires. They cover all the leagues from around the world, Premier League. Chelsea supporters group goes down there. You name it, they're down there. The rooftop deck, spectacular. Great view of the stadium. British and Indian pub-style cuisine. A winner at Kings Court. KingsCourtHouston.com. Go in and say hello to Jay. All right, our next guest, Clemente Lice, is a writer. He has penned tons of articles, books. Recently wrote a book, The History of U.S. Men's National Soccer Team. Really interesting book. It's got some great side notes and bar notes in here, and it just really talks about the beginning of soccer, starting with immigration and the ethnic, right up to the modern game now. And Clemente joins us now. Clemente, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations on the new book.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, tell me why you decided to do the history of the U.S. men's national soccer team.
Well, it's funny you ask that, because there aren't really a lot of books that delve into the history of the national team specifically. There's a lot of books out there. A lot of them come from England, and a lot of them focus on other teams and the World Cup in general, but not the U.S. And a lot of people think the U.S. national team's history started in 1990 when they qualified for the World Cup for the first time in 40 years. But the truth is, the U.S. has a rich history that, soccer in this country that dates back many decades, and with its origins in the 1920s and 30s. The 1930 World Cup, the U.S. finished third. And then there's kind of a leveling off from there. And then the U.S. entered sort of a gray period, despite the success of various leagues in those years. And then to the modern day, where we know the U.S. now has become, you know, a national team that qualifies for the World Cup regularly, barring the last one they did not qualify for. But otherwise, the U.S. is an international player now in the soccer scene, and we see the growth of Major League Soccer helping fuel all that.
Clemente Lice, he has just released a book, The History of the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team. I like the first chapter. It's called Humble Beginnings from 1916 to 1929. And what's interesting here is
here is really you describe the ethnic side of the game, the immigration, people bringing the things they love to this country. There's a mention of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, which incidentally started in 1914. As you mentioned in the book, the Dynamo will play in the final of that. Before I get into this, and great names like Archie Stark, why is the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup not promoted more in this country?
That's a very good question. And when you go back into the history of the soccer in this country, this trophy and this tournament that is now over 100 years old is sort of what was at the time the national championship. And teams from all over the country would compete, from regional leagues to time there were various national leagues. And, you know, minus the NASL teams who did not participate in this tournament, the history, the winning teams of this tournament is a history of this country. And if you look through the winners over the decades, you'll see this very a myriad of storied American clubs that compete in this league. Unfortunately, I think U.S. soccer is probably to blame here in that a lot of these regional preliminary rounds and then later on the other rounds where MLS teams are involved, there is not a big promotion. There's no TV contract, no national contract. You know, and only in recent years has the final been shown on ESPN or other places. But that is mostly U.S. soccer's fault. They don't think they can sell this tournament. To me, this tournament is like the FA Cup, our version of it, and we should appreciate it more and then actually glorify it more because it teaches us the history of soccer in this country is not just 20 years old. It goes back over 100 years.
He's Clemente Lisi, the author of U.S. Men's National Soccer Team, A History of, and it starts from the very humble beginnings. And I'll tell you what, chapter one is awesome in its own right just because it sets the tone to remind people that, you know, the sport does have a long history here and that we do need to kind of take stock in it, and we do have the competition of other sports. What else was important in doing this? This is obviously a labor of love. You know, you've got differing pieces on who you thought were significant people during this rise, and Archie Stark from the early years out of Kearney, New Jersey, or Rick Davis, who was very symbolic playing for the New York Cosmos, Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey, on and on we go. You picked certain players because of their benchmarking moments to kind of illustrate things?
Correct, yeah. Those are the names you think of when you think of an era in U.S. soccer history, so you think of the 80s, you think of Rick Davis, you know, because at the time, in the late 70s and the 80s, the NASL was flooded with foreign players, and we all remember those guys. But Rick Davis was, you know, for many years, he was one of the few Americans on the New York Cosmos. He was the one that was playing on the U.S. Olympic team. He was playing on the national team. He was the face of American soccer before there was social media, right? So before there was, before the internet helped grow soccer in this country and helped spread it, you know, you had to sort of rely on weekly games or, you know, videotape. There wasn't a lot of places to watch the U.S. team. I mean, the U.S. did not have their games regularly broadcast. So they, you know, in those years, in those decades, U.S. soccer was on the brink of bankruptcy. There wasn't a lot of money there, you know. So that all started after 1990 when the U.S. became a regional power and started qualifying for the World Cup on a regular basis.
Clemente Lisi joining us. Who's your favorite player all time with U.S. soccer? And I know that's kind of a difficult question, but give me the reason why as well.
That's a very good question. And for me, it will be for a very long time, Landon Donovan.
Yeah.
He helped push the sport to a whole new level. Was a phenomenal player. Didn't earn the respect he should have gotten in many quarters. He was an exceptional player in the MLS. We forget that he had two stints with Everton. Did a great job there. And just for the national team in general, he really represented the U.S. on many levels. And that goal against Algeria, 2010 World Cup, that is the biggest goal in U.S. soccer history after the goal from Paul Caligiuri in 1989. Correct.
Right. 89, I guess. Hey, why would you say he wasn't respected? I thought Landon Donovan got tremendous respect. I thought maybe he's a bit of a polarizing figure, strictly because he is considered the best.
He is considered the best now, but he was criticized for being soft for many years, for not wanting to play abroad. I know. I thought at the time his commitment level to MLS was important at a time when MLS was just starting out. And, you know, and then those two stints at Everton, you know, that proved that he can play in England. You know, had he wanted to play there longer, I think he could have. I think he loved playing with the Galaxy. Forget those Galaxy teams were really good, you know, with David Beckham and, you know, Keane and those guys. I mean, those were really good teams in the Bruce Arena. And so he was winning here, and he sort of, you know, he enjoyed it. I think, you know, for him, you know, there's still that sourness of not making the 2014 team with Klinsmann, you know, being cut at the last minute there.
Yeah, remarkable.
And, you know, he attempted two comebacks, and I think at that point, you know, his career was pretty much over. But I think he loved the game so much, he just couldn't depart, couldn't leave the game.
Clemente Lise joining us here, author of a new book called The History of U.S. Men's National Soccer Team. Clemente, where can people get it? I'm sure online. Maybe you can that information out.
Yeah, if you go to scarecrowpress.com, if you go to Amazon and type in my name or type in the name of the book, you'll find it.
And by the way, one of the Neville brothers who was playing behind Landon Donovan was begging him to stay at Everton because he loved playing with him so much on the right side of the field. That's one thing I remember. And the other thing is, where would MLS have been without Landon Donovan as its poster boy in U.S. soccer? So I think the narrative can be flipped a little bit in defense of Landon, don't you?
I totally agree with that. That's why, for me, he is the face of U.S. soccer and will be for decades. And, you know, and then we'll see what happens in the future. I think looking forward, the U.S., despite not qualifying for the World Cup, there are a lot of young faces. You know, Christian Pulisic, Tim Weah. I think the future is bright. So we just have to buckle up and see how the next 4 years turn out. But I think the U.S. national team's future, it looks good.
Yeah, no, it's exciting, and I agree with you. I think there's some great talents. All right, so you got an article coming out, or it may be out already, talking about the UEFA Nations League, which, you know, give us a Cliff Notes version of what that is, because I think it's still in the educational process for many fans.
Yeah, so a lot of fans enjoy the World Cup, and a lot of new fans were born as a result of the World Cup, and so there are international teams, and national teams will pick up playing international games again in September in a few weeks. And what's going to change is, you know, the move away from these meaningless friendlies. So UEFA is doing this, and CONCACAF is doing it, where they're creating something called the Nations League, which is almost like the Champions League, but for national teams. And what ends up happening is they play in this tournament-style preliminary round, and there's a group stage, and there's like Final Four. And then you crown a winner at the end of that. So what ends up happening is these 6 or 7 FIFA international dates get gobbled up by this tournament, which, not to be confused with the Euros or in North America's case with the Gold Cup, it's separate from that. And what ends up happening is it creates more competitive games in those windows, because a lot of people complain that watching Canada play Northern Ireland on a random Thursday is not that exciting, right? So what it does is it creates more competitive games in the region. It works, I think, in Europe, because the teams most of them are high caliber, at least a good number of them are. The CONCACAF version is more controversial, because what ends up doing is it ends up having, you know, you're going to get a lot of those Antigua versus Guyana games that will benefit these smaller nations. For teams like the U.S. and Mexico, it blocks out a lot of games where they end up having to play teams like that and not friendlies versus England or Italy, say.
Yeah, that's going to be challenging. So what do you foresee with the United States? I mean, in these windows where they have opportunity to get competition, they're going to have to try to get A-plus competition.
Correct. So now we're lucky this fall. You know, the U.S. soccer schedule is very healthy.
It's a good one.
They're playing various teams. They're playing Brazil in a week, which is going to be a great game. It's a friendly. Means nothing. But for the U.S., it's a big game, because it'll be here in New York, in the New York area. It'll be at home for the U.S., and you get to play Brazil. You get to play Neymar and Coutinho, and that's good for those young guys we just mentioned earlier. And then down the road, they're going to be playing England and Italy this fall. That's really good. Going forward, a lot of those international dates will be gobbled up now by this tournament, which the U.S. enters in 2019. So what ends up happening is the U.S. will be in this sort of this 3-4-team bracket, kind of like the Hex, but it's going to be against maybe the likes of Canada and Haiti or whoever qualifies for this thing, right? And so what ends up happening is the U.S. will be forced to play these more competitive games versus these weaker teams in the region, but not get the chance to play, let's say, a one-off friendly against England, which I think for the U.S. will be more beneficial and, in the end, maybe make more money by playing those games.
Little did we know that there was something to do with money involved in this, right?
It's always about television revenue. It's always about television revenue, right? It's always about that.
Clemente, thank you very much. Really enjoyed the first chapter of the book, and I'll get through it. A History of the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team by Clemente Lisi, and a great writer, a guy who's really committed with real passion into his writings. And we thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, Clemente.
Thanks, Glenn. Thank you very much.
All right. So we end it in big style there with Clemente. A couple of things here before we go, just to wrap it up here tonight. I just want to remind you about FM Bar and Kitchen. Food over there is amazing. It's one block north of Washington on Shepherd. People were in there throughout the World Cup. You can get in there and watch the Premier League, the Dynamo. Enjoy the expertly crafted cocktails, amazing burgers, chicken sandwiches, ribs, Southern comfort food. I'm telling you, this is not pub food. This is like going to a restaurant at pub food prices. The food there is amazing. Patio is kid and pet friendly. Bring the entire family. Catch your soccer watching at FM Kitchen and Bar. Go in there, say hello to Ryan. We had a great Champions League party there back in May. FM Kitchen and Bar. And then don't forget, if you're at home and you want to watch your games at home, you get 4K video technology. How do you do it? Well, you do it through Tranquility Home Systems, my friend Jesse. He's the guy you want to talk to. THS will come out. They'll get you a free quote. They'll get you on your way to your home theater installation. If you love sports, don't deny yourself the home theater setup. You got to get that going, and you want to watch it in 4K video technology. I'm going to give you Jesse's personal phone number, 281-506-7822. 281-506-7822. Get a free quote or hit up his website. THS website is at www.ths3inc.com. Again, Jesse, 281-506-7822. For Tyler Scott, Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Thanks, as always, for tuning into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. To all our guests, listeners, and callers, we thank you. And remember the podcast at podcastarena.com and on iTunes. On behalf of the firm, good night.
App in the business and the easiest steak you can download.
Wait, I think I messed that up.
The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.